Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, February 2nd, my son's 12th birthday. Happy birthday to Cam. Almost a teenager. Boy, he acts like it already. Just excited to spend the day with him, man. It's nothing better than celebrating your kids, although every day is like a freaking birthday around this house, spoiled asses. But he deserves a day, so I'm excited to hang with him tonight and really the next 5 days. I know Twitter will tell me I'm not allowed to see him, but I'm gonna have him for the next five, maybe 6 days. I can't count, but either way, happy birthday to my son, and excited to kind of continue down this off-season journey here on Menace in the Morning with my co-host Chris Drew. I'm working hard on some main episodes, or they're really additional episodes, right? I won't even call them main episodes. This has become kind of the main platform because of the consistency and the quality of a guy like Chris joining. So there will be bonus episodes, and I have one we're recording tomorrow with Daniel Lust. If you don't know him, follow him right now at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. Probably the best. He has, in my opinion, the best platform for sports law, like podcasts, interviews, YouTubes. I mean, he did a Darren Rovell versus some other guy debate. Just really, really innovative stuff. I wish he wasn't as big time, or I would just hire him to join this platform, but he is far bigger than that. So anyways, he's going to join me tomorrow to break down this whole Brian Flores lawsuit, and we'll probably find about 10 other legal things for him to dissect, and that will be tomorrow. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But before we get to the show, if you didn't play the parlay yesterday, you're an idiot. Start there. Our partner, MyBookie, with promo code Menace, gives you free money. So had you done this, I know hindsight's 2020. Had you went on MyBookie, signed up, used promo code Menace, put in $200, they would have given you a free $200 deposit match. You would have bet that $200 on the Maple Leafs to win at New Jersey and the Predators to win at home versus the Canucks. You would have won $250. Now you're playing with even more house money. You have $450 in house money. And I'm going to tell you, Chris, what I'm going to do with my $250 that I won yesterday. I wish I would have had a deposit match. I would have been up $450. But I'm putting all $250 on a three-leg parlay, which is goes against what I usually do. But it's house money. I'm trying to turn $200 into a grand. Here you go. I'm taking the Cavs money line. It's -195 on the road against the Rockets, who are god-awful, 14-36. So Cavs on the road. I'm taking the Capitals at home against a solid-ass Edmonton team, but I think Washington gets it done. And then I'm taking the Grizzlies to beat the Knicks, right? Cavs money line, Capitals money line, and Grizzlies money line. $250 to win $900. So that's our parlay of the day on MyBookie. Go throw it in. If you didn't win yesterday, I would advise you to maybe take that at 100 to win 350 or something like that. But if you have $250 in winnings, let's let it ride. Double down and try to turn this bitch into 1,000. All right. Been a little hot on our parlays lately, Chris.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Also, he mentioned the Rockets. I saw a clip yesterday. Kevin Porter Jr. was ordering a custom grill during their last loss.
Shut up.
In the middle of the game.
Oh my God. Oh, when it rains, it pours, as they say. We also put out it was supposed to be for fun and obvious, right?
It was satire.
Put out a Joe Burrow
quote. Satire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was supposed to be satire. I don't know. I guess it is what
we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
So we put out the graphic because too many people were tagging us with a graphic with a quote from Joe Burrow that was clearly fake, right? About how he doesn't know why Ohio State fans claim him. Like, he would never say that, just like he would never say the quote we put out. So the quote we put out said, "I learned how to be a great QB at Ohio State. LSU was just the venue I got to display it. I am a Buckeye." Joe Burrow on fan bases not understanding that he should be claimed as a Buckeye, right? Very clearly not something that Joe would say. I thought it was obvious. We put it out, and I mean, we got it just exploded, went viral. People were retweeting it, like tagging people in it, like as a point in their argument to why Joe Burrow is a Buckeye, and it just went off. And I guess that was the point, but I thought it was more obvious. Like, I wasn't trying to spread misinformation. I was trying to be a joke. Like, hey, here's a quote too. Look, I can type a quote on a picture of Joe Burrow also. Like, that, cool. But people took it at face value. And a couple people even said, and I replied to a couple of them, like, I hope this is real. Like, Zach's really, always authentic and genuine. Like, this must be real. I haven't listened to the episode yet. I'm like, ah, shit. Like, my authenticity made people believe it. They're like, well, he doesn't put out bullshit. I'm like, okay, it was a joke. So I apologize if I went off brand with that joke. I just thought it was a clear joke.
I put out bullshit, so you don't have to apologize. I mean, it wasn't on your page.
That's right. True. Chris puts out a lot of bullshit. But anyways, it was fake. It was always intended to be believed as fake. I was not trying to dupe anyone, but it was funny how it just took off. And it just goes to show you in this world how misinformation can spread if it fits with the narrative you want to believe, right? And it's something that I've harped on for 3 years now, going back to my situation when I got fired. If you see something or hear something and you say, oh man, that guy beat his wife, then anything that comes out, you have that lens, that frame of reference to grab it and support what you already believe, your preconceived notion, right? And that's just the way it works, right? Buckeye fans want to believe that Joe Burrow cut him open is a Buckeye in his core, right? And so a quote comes out that is clearly fake, but it supports that story, and they jump on it and grab it, and they say, see, I told you. And it's like, whoa, time out. Let's look at the situation here. Is that real? Is it real? So it's, I guess.
I cannot confirm that it was a real quote, but if you cut Joe Burrow open, he is Buckeye Zach, and I do have proof.
You cut him open?
Yes. He refers to Michigan as that team up north. Buckeye through and through. Continue.
I mean, that's fair. He's definitely a Buckeye. I'm not taking the LSU camp here or even the Clemson. I don't know. Everyone is on the other side of the
Clemson camp.
Fans, like, you name it. I'm not on that side of the camp, but the guy certainly holds LSU in an extremely high regard. I mean, he actually played there, won a national championship. Like, he is LSU first, Ohio State second. We can at least agree on that, right?
I agree that Joe Burrow made Joe Burrow. I'll never say LSU's first.
Okay, well, fair enough, Chris. But anyways, Chris, is Brian, I every time I try to say his name, I call him Blyan. Brian Flores, bombshell lawsuit. He is suing for basically every minority coach that has coached the game. And the Bill Belichick part of this is hilarious. So run it back for me. Explain it to me. What went down yesterday?
So basically, he filed this lawsuit. And the reason he filed this lawsuit is because Bill Belichick texted him the week before his interview with the New York Giants. And Bill, you know, basically congratulated him on getting the job. And you could tell Brian was a little bit confused. And after kind of figuring out, he's like, you know, were you talking to DeBull and not me? And he was like, yep, I effed this up. I'm sorry, Brian. I texted the wrong person. So basically tipping his hand that a coach was already hired before Brian Flores even got the job interview. And why is that important? Because the Rooney Rule states very clearly that a minority must be strongly considered for each coaching position, including an interview. So if that means if they brought him in just to check a box and waste his time, that is against the rules, Zach.
Here's my problem. The Rooney Rule is the dumbest fucking thing that ever was created. And I've said it forever. All you're doing with that rule is guaranteeing that you're going to waste a bunch of black coaches' time. That's all you're guaranteeing. You're not guaranteeing that they're going to get a job. Like, what do they have to do in an interview if they go in and I'm the Giants or whoever the fuck you want to be, and I say, all right, I'm going to hire Bill Belichick's son. That's who I want to hire. Boy, I got to interview a black guy. You bring him in. What is he just going to blow you away in an interview that you're not really even checked into, and you're going to hire him instead? Absolutely not. All you're doing is wasting these minority coaches' time. That's it, right? And
preconceived notions.
That's it. And I don't. I read somewhere, not somewhere. It's several people have talked about it, and I agree too. You can never fight racism with racism, right? You can never mandate, like Joe Biden mandating that a black woman is going to be on the Supreme Court. Like, one, like, why are you putting that out there? That, like, okay, well, you have to interview a black guy. Well, why? why would you, even if that's like an unwritten rule or an agreement, like why put it out there that you have to interview a black guy? That's like saying that they're not qualified, but you're doing them a favor by bringing them in to interview them. And that is just so fucking backwards. Like, that's not how you create equality at the leadership level of the NFL at all.
That's how you create token black people. Like, that's
It's just stupid. Right. And I can't understand who thinks the Rooney Rule is a good idea. Like, I know that black coaches don't, like, they think it's fucking stupid. And every time they get called for an interview, they're like, oh, I'm the token interview. Like, gotta go to New England to be the token guy. Like, that, there's no one that thinks this is a good idea except for stiff old white guys that are trying to be like, oh, look, we give you interviews. Like, oh, okay. What the fuck does that do for anyone? So it's entirely stupid. First of all, now you would talk about the ridiculousness and the you know, systemic racism that is in the NFL, like Brian Flores getting fired and not immediately getting another head coaching job is absurd. What he did in Miami, I mean, he deserves almost a trophy for how he turned that place around. And if it is true that he was offered $100,000 per loss to tank the team to get a better draft pick from the owner, even more kudos to him. And it makes more sense why he was fired, because he was going against
owner's wishes.
Yeah, I mean, he was insubordinate, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's surprising that the whole situation. And further to the point, I mean, everyone will talk about Eric Bieniemy. He has all these, you know, and he's even named in the lawsuit, like his successes, all of his track record stuff. I am not of the opinion that Eric Bieniemy is the person you want to hang your hat on in this case, because he doesn't call the plays in Kansas City. And so you can say that it's kind of like Marcus Freeman at Cincinnati. We talked about that, right? Like, okay, he's probably a great coach. I don't know, but Luke Fickell is his defense and he's calling it. So we don't know about Marcus Freeman.
I'll push back a little bit on the Eric Bieniemy thing, because I think part of it is that he's more qualified than other white guys getting head
coaches. Absolutely.
And the one I'll use for example is Joe Judge went from special teams coordinator to then head coach of the New York Football Giants like immediately. And we saw how badly that turned out.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Eric Bieniemy is long overdue a shot, right? But to sit here and put up his offensive numbers as indication of that deserved shot is just stupid, because it's not his offense. I think he would be an outstanding coach to take a shot on as a first-time head coach. There's no doubt. He should have already been a head coach. But to say like he led the league in offense, it's like, what the fuck? That was Andy Reid's offense. Shut up. Like, that doesn't mean that's he doesn't deserve to be a head coach, but that's not the reasoning, right? I mean, he was a part of that. He certainly knows how that works. So that's, you know, that's one bullet point, but that's not the reason to make him a head coach. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because I'm interested to get Daniel Luss' opinion, because this is a bombshell lawsuit, right? It never been done like this before. And Brian Flores seriously jeopardized his future as a coach.
He'll never coach again.
He probably will never coach again. But, you know, more power to him. I think it's awesome that he's standing up for it. We all know there's an issue. And there's no solution to the issue, because the Rooney Rule certainly is not a solution. But it's going to be interesting to see, because what can he prove any of this? Like, does he, no way the Dolphins owner put in writing that he pay him $100,000 per loss. So that's probably not going to be able to be proved, right? The Bill Belichick text, like, he doesn't work for the Giants. The Giants can say, that's not true. I don't know where he heard that. He doesn't speak for us. Like, so it's going to be tough to prove any of this outside of, you know, a judge looking at it and saying, there is an inherent problem here. Minority coaches are not given the same opportunities. And at the same time,
do you believe Brian?
Do I believe him? Absolutely, I believe him. I believe him 100%. I mean, I don't know what he said that was unbelievable. I entirely believe an owner would try to tank a team because he knows they're not a Super Bowl team to get a better draft pick. We see it happen all the time. Brian Flores is just competitive and didn't want to do that, right? Because and I think my biggest problem in all of this was Hugh Jackson coming out to like be a part of this conversation, because I don't know if we know this, but Hugh was given an opportunity. He was a head coach and he was fucking pathetic. 1-31. Like, he's not, again, not the guy to fight the battle. Like, you're part of the problem, Hugh. You got an opportunity and were terrible. And so just Hugh needs to sit this one out. As a Browns fan, he really needs to sit this one out. But I mean, I don't know. It's like that guy, you know, you fighting for something and the guy steps up and goes like, oh, no, please don't support us. We don't want you on this.
We're good, OG.
You're good.
No, that's where, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to definitely unfold a certain way. I think that Brian's going to get his $100 million. I think that he is, but I think he also may never coach again, which is a bummer because he shouldn't have got fired in the first place.
No.
And if he doesn't get fired in the first place, this whole thing doesn't happen. Then you have Bill Belichick potentially, you know, changing the course of the NFL once again on accident, complete accident. Yes.
Well, and the other argument I hear all the time, and this may be some ignorance coming out right now, but it's you know, authentic.
We're here to have a conversation.
It's from a genuine place. One of the things that people that I hear all the time in this argument is like, there's no black owners. And like, although I understand there needs to be a team for sale for someone to buy it, but and I'm not even trying to go down the rabbit hole of inherent, you know, centuries old discrimination that have led to the fact there aren't as many minorities with the money to buy a team, but there are some, right? There are some, like Oprah Winfrey could buy fucking two teams if she wanted to, right? There is minorities in the world with the money, like I forget his name, but buddy that started FUBU, like it's on Shark Tank all the time, like he's got all kinds of money. Why doesn't he buy a team, right? And I understand that a team needs to be for sale, but Michael Jordan bought an NBA team, right? Like, why has no one bought an NFL team? Is it just inherent systemic racism amongst owners that they won't sell to a black guy, like, or a black woman? Like, I don't know the answer to that, but I think that could help change. Like, get some fucking billionaire to go buy an NFL team.
No, I do think it's important for a minority owner to buy a team here soon. And I think one of the things that could end up happening, a possibility, is, you know, the Dolphins owner maybe forced to sell the team, the same way we saw with Sterling and the Clippers all those years back.
Yeah. Well, it should have already happened to the Washington. What are they now? That they announced the Commanders,
I think. Yeah.
The Washington Commanders. I thought you couldn't get worse than the Washington football team, and we named them the fucking Commanders. Like,
well, that guy in DC like owns all the other names that were options and refused to let him go.
Which, I mean, what an asshole, right? It's like you go out to play dodgeball and one kid takes all the balls and you're like, well, we can't fucking play now. And he's like, I don't care. They're my balls. You're like, all right, dickhead. Like, I guess we can't play then. Sweet. You really, mission accomplished, buddy.
Hope you're happy.
But awful. I mean, awful, awful name, awful logo, awful uniforms, just awful. You didn't think they could screw it up any worse than the Washington. I would rather them be the Washington football team, but they will always be the Washington Redskins on this show. So
it canceled.
But you want to talk about protecting owners and protecting old money. I mean, what happened in Washington with the investigation and not releasing anything except for John Gruden getting him fired. That just goes to show you they are protected. These owners are protected because that guy should have lost his team. All the reports and everything that came out about what was going on in that organization. And that would have been a great opportunity for a minority.
It was borderline sex trafficking over there.
Yeah. It was just wild. Happened. I mean, sounds like a good time, but
no, it was just insanity.
Insanity. So that happened though. The Washington Commanders, and he should have lost the team. Would have been a great opportunity for, you know, a different owner to step in, at least, like whether it's a minority, a female, something different to shake up the league a little bit. Speaking of the league, Chris, as we talked about yesterday, and I'm not going to call it a prediction because everyone, there was plenty of smoke to go with the fire, but Jim Harbaugh is throwing up deuces and going to the Vikings. Like, one of the worst situations in the NFL. He's jumping ship and going to the Vikings on National Signing Day. This is reminiscent of Lincoln Riley just raping and pillaging Oklahoma and going to USC. Like, the only thing that will make this better or worse, depending on how you want to look at it, is if Jimmy Harbaugh gets to the Vikings, hires everyone from Michigan to come with him and convinces like three of their best players to go in the supplemental draft, then he will have fully crippled the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, man. I feel bad for our guy, Anthony, who is a Buckeye fan and a Vikings fan. He is hurting right now, bad right now.
I don't know how you do that. As much as you hate Jim Harbaugh as a Buckeye fan, all of a sudden he goes to your NFL team. Like, I'd have to switch teams. I would. If he went to the Browns, I'd be out. I gotta go somewhere else. Can't do it. I already lived through already lived through Hugh Jackson and made it through as and maintained my Browns fanhood. I couldn't do a Jimmy Harbaugh tenure. I couldn't do it.
Couldn't do a Jim Harbaugh stint. Dude, it's crazy, man, because it bothers me because he was so quick to talk shit and then dip. I mean, this is a classic hit and run, Zach. Like, you know, sometimes something about being born on third, you're born on third base and think you hit a triple, and then he's going to skate. And the time of the year that he chose to do it, it's tough because there's not a ton of coaches available. So this Michigan coaching search is going to be widely looked at. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys hitting the portal, and the coaches are basically, according to Yoder, basically being given a week to go figure out their futures. Zach, this, they hit their peak and it's going to go down very, very quickly. Like, it's going to crash. Yeah, I mean,
this is crippling. And it's not crippling because Jim Harbaugh is some savior. I think he's a very average head coach, but it's crippling because of how he went about it, right? And with the new age of the transfer portal, I mean, this is going to be devastating. And that's why Michigan's administration has to make a move and make it fast. And what I'm worried about is that they're going to use this and make a knee-jerk reaction, and God forbid for them. I mean, for everyone, for Ohio State, it'd be great, but they might do something stupid, like just promote Josh Gattis or promote Mike Hart, just to kind of try to keep the roster intact and put a Band-Aid on the bleeding, the wound, before it gets really bad. And that's what I'm worried they will do for Michigan. I'm not, as a Buckeye fan, if you are one, there's no worry there. You got to hope they do that. Because
that's 7-5. That's 7-5. If they do
that. It will come unraveled so fast. But I think that I know that whatever they are going to do, they need to do it fast, and they need to be calculated and intelligent about it. They can't just make a gut reaction and hire someone like Josh Gattis as the head coach. They can't do that. The guy that I think will be in on it more so than people would ever give credit. And I was one of the ones that said he would never do it, but I think Luke Fickell gets involved in this job. I really do.
Is that your first call? Like, if you're Michigan administration, Zach?
Absolutely.
That's very my first call. Is that your dream hire, or is that just one of the realistic ones?
Well, I think it does so many things, right? Not only is Luke proven as a head coach now, not only is he a Midwest guy, he's obviously played in and coached in the rivalry on the other side of the sidelines. And I know this is going to be an unpopular take for Buckeye fans, but it's the absolute perfect hire. Because he comes in and he's everything Jim Harbaugh was not, right? Jim Harbaugh was a phony, like bizarre guy that's out there, like, you know, in press conferences, you got confused. Like, what the fuck is this guy? Almost like Mike Leach, but not as fun, not as entertaining.
Like, it's like Adam Gase-like.
Yes, very Adam Gase-like. And so he's just so bizarre. And Luke comes in and Luke is as fucking square-jawed, like, I don't want to say normal, but just like real dude, like opposite of phony, right?
He's closer to like Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, and he's like a Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes, right? He is the brand and the historical icon that a program like Ohio State or Michigan has. Like Ryan Day is also, right? That those are more normal or expected coaches on the sideline in both places. And I think that Luke understands that his formula will be successful in the Midwest. He almost did it with Cincinnati, with the inability to get the skill necessary. If he can go to Michigan and just increase the level of skill that he got at Cincinnati, I mean, there's a chance he's gonna be able to be in that mix every year. And so I think it's, I mean, I, obviously, there's several other candidates people will talk about. I already mentioned Matt the two Campbell, on staff.
PJ Fleck. Yeah,
Matt Campbell, they'll talk about PJ Fleck, which I think if PJ Fleck gets that job, God help us. That is not the fit at all. Matt Dave Campbell Aranda would be a great fit. He would probably be my second call after Luke Fickell. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they got to do something fast, or else you're going to see this portal is just going to become, I mean, it's going to be a hot highway straight to the portal from Ann Arbor.
I mean, and no one can blame him. Now, which one was more damaging, the way Lincoln Riley left OU or the way Jim Harbaugh appears to be leaving Michigan?
Definitely how Lincoln left Oklahoma, though I think Oklahoma has a better talent base on their roster to survive it. And we haven't even seen the repercussions at Michigan yet, right? This is just happening as we record. It's not even done. Like, Jim Harbaugh hasn't officially left yet. So I think what Lincoln did, I mean, Lincoln absolutely just gutted that program. He left, you know, had the coaches that were still at Oklahoma recruiting for USC while they're getting paid and on the road for Oklahoma, took their basically everyone on staff that he wanted. I mean, Caleb Williams now is going to USC. Everyone transferred. Spencer Rattler transferred. The tight end transferred. I mean, he completely gutted that program, which is just bizarre because that's a program that gave him his first opportunity, handed him a blue blood head coaching job as a never before head coach, unproven as a head coach. I mean, they made him a millionaire, you know, made him one of the top coaches in the country. And he just, never mind the fact that he left for USC, which some would say is a lateral move, but he also just raped and pillaged Norman as he left. And it's just like, oh God, yeah. Like, what bad blood had there to be between him and the administration? It had to be awful.
And I believe it was a calculated gutting because additionally, not just with his guys recruiting while still on staff at OU, but you and I both noted the shift in the recruiting focus for Lincoln Riley changed all of a sudden in the middle of last year from kind of the Midwest guys and the Southern guys off to then recruiting a lot of California guys, which they hadn't done before. And now all of a sudden, So it's crazy because I would never imagine him. It's like that'd be almost the equivalent of Ryan Day leaving Ohio State and absolutely gutting them on his way out, which is not something I can see him doing.
No, I mean, usually you don't do that, right? Just if you have any respect for anyone, your former players there that you recruited, maybe, you know, at least someone in administration that you got along with, or just the simple fact that, I mean, he was at Oklahoma forever. And he should want to remain in their good graces. Yeah, he left, but that can be forgiven. Now, this raping and pillaging, it'll never be forgiven. Like, they hate Lincoln Riley and will always hate him. And that's unfortunate for him, honestly, because he put in so much time there. He did so much good. And to leave in that fashion, just, I mean, I get it. He's getting paid a ton of money. He's got to win now. But there's other ways to do it. And even if he just took Caleb Williams, that'd be one thing. But the way he went about it all is just, it's shocking, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night, hit the dash. Caleb Williams has announced that he is transferring to USC. Shocker. And on Instagram, he posted it, man, and all these girls got in his comments and were clowning him for the foot fetish, Zach.
So what was it? One girl went on there and said, mm-hmm. What'd she say? Something about, I hope you enjoy
your foot fetish with you, or like him and his foot fetish are going to.
So what is a foot fetish? Like, does that mean you suck on toes and weird shit like that?
I think so. Like, you know, jamming and sliding with toes, you know, not hand jobs, but like foot jobs. I don't know.
You sound like you're pretty well versed in this, Chris.
I'm not. No,
maybe
no,
you're
no,
the guy to explain no. it to us.
No, I'm not well versed. See, what I do for the show is I take my research very seriously. So I hopped online to double check. I almost DM'd that girl.
At least went incognito mode.
Oh man, my mom works in cybersecurity, Zach. We know all the tricks. Not that I've ever been, mom, if you're listening, I'm not that kind of guy. But anyway, I almost DM'd that girl to see, like, hey, if she had any Caleb Williams stories, but I, you know, figured out.
Well, let's do it. Let's get her on the show. Caleb Williams has a foot fetish. And so the question is, was Wisconsin ever in play? I can't imagine that the feet in Wisconsin are even remotely attractive, especially compared to Southern California. I mean, you're talking about pedicured up, like pretty feet in Southern California. Wisconsin, you're talking about bunions, big old farmer feet in boots. I've never really thought about feet in a sexual sense before, but I would imagine LA has far more attractive feet than freaking Wisconsin. I mean, just... you got to be talking some hammer-toed, big old nasty feet in Wisconsin, right?
In Wisconsin, they wear boots with no socks, dog.
Right. Like, no, I can't, nothing about feet is attractive to me anyways. But at least not that way. I mean, a cute pedicure, sure. But I mean, I don't know. We're going on a dark hole right now. But I just would imagine that the feet are much prettier in California. If he really has that much of a fetish and is really that into it.
So Bobby Carpenter was wrong. It was never about the bidding war. It was never about, you know, boosters paying. It was about just on average, you know, who had the better feet. And that was an obvious one. You know,
yeah, I mean, California, I think it was all about NFL better. Development and feet, obviously.
Yeah.
Who has pretty toes and who can make me an NFL draft pick?
Mm-hmm. Now, with Caleb Williams, back to the football side of it, how soon do you expect USC to make a playoff, Zach?
Honestly, I think it's going to happen really fast, mainly because of what the West Coast and what the Pac-12 has to offer. They got to beat Kyle Whittingham and Utah. I mean, that's obviously number one. Chip Kelly has something going at UCLA, but with the talent they're bringing in, the way that he's going to recruit, his system, I think that they got their quarterback. Caleb Williams coming in is massive. So, you have a quarterback, you get some recruits in there, coach, get that defense right with Alex Grinch. And I think they're immediately a Pac-12 contender, right? Right now, they're going to compete for the Pac-12 championship right now. So it's a matter of, can they go unscathed and win the Pac-12? That's the question. And honestly, unless Dan Lanning's going to get Oregon right in a year or two, I think they're a contender day one. I don't think they're a contender to win a national championship, but I think they're a contender because they have, it's all about storylines. Like USC loses one game early, ends up, 12-1, Pac-12 champs, Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, sexy, sexy, sexy. They're in the playoffs, right? Because people want that West Coast relevancy. Then honestly, college football needs that West Coast relevancy. So I think that when that happens, that scenario comes up, it's not Clay Helton and the USC Trojans. It is Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy, caliber quarterback. And the college football nerds will be jerking off to the USC Trojans for all year. Like, it's going to be sexy in the media. And that's what half of this is. We have already went through who's on the college football playoff committee. These people will be looking at the storylines and say, hey, the West Coast has not been represented worth a shit in the playoffs. Lincoln Riley had something going this year. They got a great quarterback that is a Heisman Trophy candidate. Like, they will definitely put them in. So I think they could make the playoffs next year. Doubt it. I think it's more of a year two thing, but I would not be shocked to see them rattle off 12-1 and make the playoffs in year one under Lincoln Riley with everything he's got done. The transfer portal, Caleb Williams, everything that's gone on. I could absolutely see it happening.
I think they make it year one, Zach, and I think that this kind of feels like a little bit to me like the 2019 Ohio State version, but kind of like the Walmart version of that 2019 Ohio State team. New coach, you're bringing a transfer quarterback, you hit the portal hard, new staff, lots of excitement around the program, and let's call what it is, the Pac-12 is not very good. So I think that they do make it year one. I think 12-1 gets them in. And I think even at 11-2, I think the committee is going to try to find a way to put them in because California is going to generate some enormous ratings. And we've yet to have that West Coast powerhouse in. I know we had Washington in, but Washington is not quite that level. And I know we had Oregon in, obviously, the very first one. But I do think that USC gets in. I think it's going to be really good for college football. And I think, having, regional, like someone come from each region is important instead of having what RJ Young would like, three SEC teams in and then one, Big Ten team. I think that USC could end up be the team that replaces a team that's been in it every now and again, like Oklahoma. So I do think they make it year one, Zach.
I think that definitely could happen. The two programs that need to become relevant again are USC and Texas. That just needs to happen for the parity of college football, for the landscape. I mean, we literally have cut half the country out and said, basically, you guys are irrelevant. You take the Northeast, cut them out. You guys are irrelevant. And then basically, it's like, all right, it's this Southern Hemisphere, this Southern region, Southeast region, and then add Ohio State in and maybe Notre Dame every now and then, Michigan one time, right? That's what it's been. So we need more parity. We need to spread this thing out coast to coast. And USC needs to be relevant. And I think Lincoln Riley does get that done.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really cool. I think if we see like the teams that are in the mix at the end of next year, like projecting early, if like OSU's in the mix, Georgia's in the mix, Bama's in the mix, Texas and USC and Notre Dame in the mix, that's six teams with enormous fan bases. And it's going to make Twitter a toxic wasteland for college football. And you and I are absolutely here for that. So I'm excited. I hope the USC really gets it done. And it does feel like a little bit like Ohio State 2019 light. I don't think they're as talented as a Ohio State team. But I'm excited, Zach. I'm excited. I'm happy for Caleb Williams. I'm happy for Lincoln Riley. They did kind of gut Oklahoma. And I still have eyes on Oklahoma and what Venables is going to do down there as well. So I am curious moving forward. I mean, this dude ran from the ran from the SEC basically and landed in a good situation out west. So, Zach, that's all I have for today. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it. If you guys do me a favor, we will be back. We're back on our normal schedule. So Friday we'll be on Twitter Spaces at 2:00. Like usual. We also will be doing our Friday mailbag.
Mailbox edition.
So we will do that on Friday. And also, We did it on Wednesday last week. I think we might make it a Thursday thing. We got to make a prank call, Chris. We got to do a hometown hero. So give us your thoughts on who we should evaluate if they are a hometown hero. It could be anybody. It could be Chris Drew. It could be someone in the NFL, someone on the Buckeyes. It could be anyone. So just drop either in our DMs or tweet at us who you want us to challenge and see if they are a hometown hero on Thursday, tomorrow's show. Friday, we'll have the mailbag. So if you go leave us a 5-star review, drop a question. If you've already left a review, shoot us a question in the DMs. We will get to your questions on Friday, every Friday, and launch the spaces as well. So appreciate everyone for tuning in. Menace out.